Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. And for all you One Final Scare listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. I've used Audible for about 2 years now for all my audiobook needs, and I'm currently listening to Mark Manson's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, a counterintuitive approach to living a good life. It's a modern-day self-help book that tells us how to stop trying to be so positive all the time so that we can truly become better, happier people. Check it out, or you can download any other audiobook of your choice. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/onefinalscare. Again, that's audibletrial.com/onefinalscare for your free audiobook.
Tracy, we're back.
Hi, Minky. Was that our like ghost voices?
Yeah, after we die, you know.
We keep having this recurring theme of like, are we gonna die? Who's gonna die? I'm gonna die.
It is one final scare, Tracy.
You know what?
We talked.
And when will we actually just be gone? Never. There's always one final scare. Hey, so welcome to this episode, episode 6. And, well, we want to do something a little different this time.
Yeah, I thought we weren't going to number each episode.
Well.
Verbally.
Whoops. We just want to remind you how many times you've listened to us.
This episode is actually going to be a little different, right, Tracy?
Because we're going to do a horror short.
That's right. It's not shorts that are made out of horror, but
that was such a bad joke.
I was like, I didn't know where I was going with that.
Okay, your improv skills, if your improv teacher was here, he'd be a little sad on that one. I think
I'm sorry, Chris.
Speaking of which, you just transitioned from improv
talk about that.
Come on.
It's a horror.
Come on. So you just transitioned from learning some improv to doing your first open mic night for stand-up comedy, didn't you?
Yes.
Yay. I did not go. And what did I tell you? I told you I was going to let you work out your kinks on this one and come and support you next time.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't invite a lot of people.
How was it?
It was horrifying.
It was not.
No, it went by really fast.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You had how many minutes?
4. I prepared 6, and I had 4.
I cut you off.
No.
They were like, bye.
I'd rather have more material, you know, and then to run out and nothing to say.
Of course.
Yeah. That's all, folks.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Did you get, good claps? Any laughs?
Did I get good claps?
Yeah. Like applause. Is that the word?
Yeah. You just can never tell what they're going to laugh at and what they're not going to laugh at.
Yeah.
You know, I added some new jokes. I was like, they're going to laugh at this. This is actually really funny. And
yeah.
Like, they didn't laugh at that. But then the audience laughed at things.
What do you mean new jokes? This is your first time.
Like, so I had written material for it.
Yeah.
But then I switched, like, I tweaked some stuff. When I say new, I meant, like, new for me. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to switch. I was like, okay, I'm going to take this out.
I'm going to switch this up for myself.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm going to, because I thought that this new joke was funnier or sounded better. Mm-hmm.
Like,
go over too well
because of your, I'm just assuming you were a bit nervous, but because of your nerves or anything, like, do you remember when people laughed or whatever so that you can take that and learn from it and tweak it and stuff?
Eventually I probably will.
Or were you zoning?
Yeah. The only thing I concentrated was like, don't forget to say this after this. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, so trying to remember like the next thing to say, trying to not fuck up the punchline.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So I went and saw Jay Leno when I was in Hermosa Beach one time. And
are you comparing me to Jay Leno?
No, I want to give you a little, I want to give you some advice.
Oh, flip.
So some years ago before Jay Leno retired his show, every Sunday he was doing comedy
in Las Vegas.
No, in Hermosa. Because he lived near there, Hermosa Beach on the West Coast.
Flew to Las Vegas or drove to Las Vegas every weekend.
He might have, but every Sunday night, I think so anyway, at least the Sunday night I was there, we went and saw him, and he actually shared a story that, oh God, I'm going to forget who gave it to him, but another famous comedian, when he was starting out, gave him like a little handheld recorder, and he said, record your audience, you know, every single time you do your skit, because you're never going to remember when people laugh and when they don't laugh. Mm-hmm. And so he had it still, like even up until the very end, you know, and basically every Sunday night when he did the stand-up stuff at this little comedy club, he was just testing out all of his jokes that his writers and himself had written for his show on television. Yep. And so he told us that that's, you know, that's what he still did to this day. And I might have to come back to next episode and say the comedian's name, because there's another famous comedian that gave that to him. But yeah, so like maybe what you can do is record it.
They did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah. So
that's going to be so helpful.
So yeah, the theater, Laughing Duck Theater, records all the performances.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'm really proud of you.
Thanks. It was really nerve-wracking at first, but it was a lot of fun. Let's talk about horror movies.
Oh my God. Stop. Well, look, I know you like the spotlight. This is why you do the things you do. Don't try to turn it away and move straight to the movie. You know, you just jump right into this.
It's not about me. It's about us, Tracy.
It is about us.
This show is about us.
I support you. You support me.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, here we are doing this thing together. So
yeah, next time you have to come out then.
I will.
You can't just be like, I'll wait until you polish it up.
Well, come on.
I'll wait until you have a 1-hour special on Netflix.
17 years from now.
2059.
Oh, wait, how old will you be then?
120.
But you'll still look like mid-40s.
Damn. mid-40s. Cool. So hey, the show we watched tonight.
Oh my God, yes. Tell me, what is the name?
The last time I remember, Minky. The last time I remember,
no,
Richard.
The last I saw Richard. Also the name of a Joni Mitchell song. I don't think that these two things are related whatsoever.
Yeah, so we picked a short this time because we wanted to, you know, just mix things up a little bit.
A shorter episode for those of you who have shorter commutes and maybe find our hour and 20 minute long episodes a bit too long. Just kidding.
We're going to fill this
episode
with other banter
an
anyway.
An hour and 20 minutes.
We'll be like, we'll talk about this for 20 minutes and then everything else. Yeah, it'll still be an hour and 20.
But the fun thing about horror shorts are they usually leave your mind totally guessing. Like, they don't close it all up. Most of the ones, right?
It's open-ended.
It's usually open-ended.
It's your own interpretation, yeah.
It's like a lot of artsy, interesting stuff. Artsy-fartsy stuff. That's a technical term. Artsy-fartsy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, crammed into a much shorter time period.
Yeah.
And, we chose this one. I think we previewed last week that we were going to have like an awesome film. And
so how did you find this anyway? It was on our list. I know.
Yeah. So we added
it on our Shudder
list.
Shudder has this really cool thing where like, you can create your own playlist.
It's
movies.
Like what Netflix has with your, what's it called on Netflix? Your queue. Your queue.
Yeah.
And so you and I have been adding movies over time. And I think, a couple of weeks ago, I said we should watch this one. And it's an Australian horror film that got, I think, an Academy Award in Australia.
Oh.
And then I think it was made to be a prequel to a full feature film that I'm forgetting the name right now. What is it?
A Dark...
Boys and Trees or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I should have had that written down, but we have not
Boys
watched...
Boys and Trees.
Isn't that what it was called? Oh, God. If I got that wrong, I'm really sorry. No, I think it is. It is. It's Boys in the Trees. Yeah. Damn, I was right. Meow.
Sequel to Boys in the Hood.
No, it's a prequel. This is a pre-prequel to Boys in the Hood. Oh, my God. totally different movies. I picked this one, and I told you that it had five skulls on Shudder. And
how did you pick it, though?
Well, like I so for me, knowing the movies that we've picked so far, I'm trying to make sure we're running the gamut of things, and I kind of enjoy watching films from different countries, so I like that this one is from Australia. I think if I read it correctly a couple weeks ago, this was produced by the guy that did Wolf Creek, which is probably one of the only other Australian horror produced by. What did I say?
You just said he did.
I think he was, whatever. I think, so Wolf Creek is like this, you know, crazy out in the outback that, you know, cuts up people. And I think that was like in 2005 or something. But anyway, so I think that's one of the only Australian horror films I really know of. So I kind of was interested in watching one, an Australian horror film. Two, I thought it'd be cool to introduce a horror short. And three, it got really good reviews. It said that it... it was kind of well received by the LGBT community. So I was like, oh, you know what? Let's check this out.
It was well received by it?
Oh, yeah. It was like...
it was on a film. It was an LGBT festival, right?
Yes, it was. So I didn't really read the... I didn't really read much of the plot or anything. I just wanted to kind of be surprised because it's already a short. So I feel like if you read the summary, it's just going to give it away.
I wish, though, Shudder had a category... just for short, like horror films.
Yeah. Because
they have a handful of them.
Yeah.
But there's no way to find
them. Just put them all together.
Yeah.
So
if you guys are listening, Shudder.
Hey, UX guy, content guy, IA. Content guy. make sure we can search by short films because that would be cool unless we're missing something. Just one suggestion for your site. But otherwise, we love you. And shameless plug for Shudder each week. So anyway, you didn't read about it either, right? Like we both jumped into this.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
And we watched this one together.
Yeah.
So I think we both thought that it was the voice of Alan Rickman.
It sounded like him.
It sounded like the voice of Alan Rickman.
A doctor.
Yeah, was in this, but it wasn't him, sadly.
Yeah.
But so
rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Alan Rickman. So the very beginning of the movie, we see the face of a kid named Jonah. And we should do our rundown of characters. We've got Jonah, who's arguably the main character, and then Richard. Who's a close second for main character. And then we've got, I guess, the voice of, because you never see the face of the therapist or the counselor or the psychologist or whatever he is. And I don't know if we know his name, but let's just call him Alan Rickman. I'm kidding.
Doctor.
That's just going to confuse it. Doctor. Yeah. Okay. So we start with a sentence out of Jonah's mouth, and he says, "Fucking cowards." So we start off pretty raw, and we can tell he's an angry teen or a kind of a tortured soul teen. And we hear a voice from the therapist across from him asking him questions. And you can just tell he's got a lot of pent up aggression. And the conversation's pretty.
Do you know when this difficult. Takes place? That, you know what? They didn't. That's what it says. It takes place in 1995.
Okay. So I was wondering that.
Why they have.
Michael Jordan, let's not. Yeah, I was wondering
the TV thing
and the TV. Like, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Sorry.
Sorry.
So, everything happens really fast in this short film. So we kind of just see a little brief conversation between this therapy session, and then we see Jonah in a bathroom cutting himself. So he's got a lot of scars on his forearm, and he's cutting himself a fresh new cut, and you know, it's sad. So we're like, okay, this is going to be a little difficult.
We know that he's a troubled teen, mm-hmm. and the location seems like they're like,
A mental health institution
yeah.
for kids.
Yeah.
And teenagers, we should say. I mean, he looks about 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
And then quickly he's out in like the TV room, like the living room.
Yeah, in the
area.
Common area. And then he basically bullies like all the kids around.
Yeah. He pushes people away. He keeps them far away. There's a girl sitting on the recliner that he clearly wants to sit in. And I think he makes fun of what she's eating. And
no, he goes, "Do you want some?" He goes, "Well, wait a minute. You're not supposed to eat carbs."
Yeah. Right.
And then she's like, "Fuck off."
And she gets sad and runs away. Yeah. He steals her seat and then he steals her food. And he's like, "Remember, once it hits your lips, it's on your hips or whatever." Yeah, he's a fucking asshole. Yeah. I mean, to people. Then I think he just like looks at the other kids and he says something stupid to them too.
Fucking coward.
Yeah. He calls them fucking cowards. Yeah. You're right. So, I think briefly, I think I caught that when he starts flipping through the TV, by the way, it is like the smallest little blip of Night of the Living Dead, which is fun.
I remember you saying that and I didn't catch that.
Yeah. I think it was like the cemetery scene. I'm pretty sure. Well, of course, that's where it starts. But I think it was before the zombies rise. So then he goes into his room. And when he walks in there, he sees he has a new roommate. And the new roommate has headphones on and he won't talk to him at all.
Ignoring him.
Ignoring the shit out of him.
And it's getting under his skin.
Right.
It's bothering him.
Because he can usually get under people's skin.
Yeah.
And
this kid's not bothered.
This kid is not bothered at all. So he's kind of met his match in a way.
Yeah. He goes, "What are you listening to?"
No answer.
And then he puts his hand down. He goes, "Hey, my name is Jonah." And that kid doesn't even look at him.
Yeah.
And then he sees that this new kid, has his sketchbook open. And he says, "Oh, you draw?" And he's about to go look at his sketchbook. And he takes the sketchbook, closes it, puts it in his bag.
Slam.
Yep. And completely ignores him.
Yeah.
And Jonah turns around as he's leaving. He says, "Well, this is going to be fun."
Yeah.
And walks out. And,
right.
And cuts.
Yeah. So it's going to be a battle of the wits or battle of the whatever. I don't know. But these two are going to probably duke it out, we think. And so anyway, we see Jonah outside at the basketball hoop, shooting some hoops. And we kind of hear, maybe it's what he's dreaming up, but we hear applause like at a basketball game. And he's kind of like in his mind, he's just like a basketball pro.
Like a kid. He's like playing it out. Like, "Oh, Michael Jordan breaks away."
Yeah.
Da, da, da.
It's kind of interesting that they played the sounds of like, you know, people clapping for him and stuff. Yeah. He's totally imagining this and he's having a good time. And at some point, we see the roommate. And I don't know if we said this, but that's Richard.
Yeah.
Richard is Richard.
Yeah. Richard is looking like sort of like zoned out, looking outside.
But he's looking at him playing basketball. He's looking
his
at Jonah.
Direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jonah just kind of stops what he's doing and he looks back into the room.
Throws a basketball at the window.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
to
okay.
startle him.
Oh, okay.
He's still trying to get his attention. He's
right.
being like, yeah.
So now we're now at nighttime and we're in bed and, Richard is drawing furiously in a sketchbook and
you can hear the music leaking through the
his headphones.
Yeah, headphones.
And Jonah's like, "Hey man, turn out the lights."
Yeah.
And he doesn't. So then Jonah turns out the lights and Richard's like pissed and he slams the lights back on. And then you said it. He's like, "Fucking crash that light bulb," or whatever he said. And he does it.
Yeah.
So like Jonah takes the lamp.
They go back and forth like three times, like twice or three times.
Yeah.
And the third time, Jonah just like
slams it on the ground and the light bulb bursts.
Like shatters.
And he goes, like, "Lights off now," right? Or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And I think the clock was like 2:58 in the morning. And we hear... Well, Jonah wakes up to
like
hearing what sounds...
Snoring?
It's more like...
Yeah, like he has sleep apnea or something. Yeah.
It's kind of a snore, but it's mainly just like difficult breathing.
Difficult breathing, yeah. And struggling to breathe, that's what it sounds like.
And Jonah's like, "What the fuck?" So then the next morning, Jonah, once again, he's trying really hard to make some kind of conversation with Richard.
You forgot the...
I don't know if we couldn't really figure it out. Maybe it plays into something, but while he's sleeping and making the snoring sound, his right hand
index
is kind of like index
like,
fingers, kind of like
almost like he was like pulling
like
a trigger,
like a trigger
of an invisible
finger.
Gun. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, the next morning, Jonah says to Richard, "Sleep well."
It's funny because now he's like, he feels like he has one up on Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knows his secret,
mm-hmm.
like his shame. So next morning he's like, I'm going to tease him about it, right?
Yeah.
That's how he approaches
because
he flips later, right?
Right. But right now he's still trying to be a dick and he's still trying to he's trying to use his tactics to get under someone's skin because he's like, "Oh, you were tossing and turning. Did you have those nocturnal emissions?"
Right, I know,
emissions?
But they're trying to one-up, he's trying to one-up him, like get something.
Yeah, but Richard's still not talking to him yet. Like still, he still hasn't answered him yet. Like we haven't even heard Richard's voice. So... Yeah. I mean, he's trying to get a rise out of this guy. Please, like, talk to me, listen to me, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he's like, he starts like whispering in his ear. And by the way, we're sitting I think Richard's sitting on that recliner, you know, that he took from the girl from earlier. And Jonah just goes and sits on the arm of it. And he's just like, he's just like invading his personal space. And he's just, like I said, he's trying to get under his skin. And get a rise out of him any way he can. And he says something like, something about bad dreams. You know, he's
teasing
just,
him about
he's
it,
like
yeah.
whispering in his ear. And again, it's as if like he's a ghost. And Richard does not notice that he's there. He's so able to turn him off.
Yeah.
So then the next scene, we see a dream sequence of trees at nighttime.
To his doctor.
And he is Jonah. So Jonah's again talking to the doctor. And we see these like really kind of old wintry trees. It feels very cold, dark.
He's walking alone in the woods.
With a red hoodie on. And we see him from behind. And you hear the doctor say, "So what are these dreams that you have?" And Jonah says something like, "There's people in the trees. Yep. I know they're looking at me. I know they're watching me, but I can't see them." And the doctor says, "Why?" And he doesn't actually say it out loud, but we, the viewers, we start to pan around the kid in the hood, Jonah in his red hood, and his eyes are completely holes. Like in his skull, there's two big bloody holes. In his dream.
He looks up and he screams, but we can't hear the scream, but it makes an impact. Like all the leaves and everything, they
blow away from his feet.
Blow away from his body. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that's the end of that scene. And now he's back in the bathroom stall again. And these are, again, if this is a public, or not a public, but like a house,
rehab place, yeah.
Mental health place where everybody lives together. There's like stalls within one big bathroom. And so he's in one and he's cutting himself again. And Richard accidentally busts open that particular door and he drops his razor blade that he's cutting himself with. And he's like, obviously, embarrassed or whatever, what have you.
Right.
About
and
being
Richard's
caught.
Sort of smiling at this point. And this is why I was like, now Richard knows what has one up on Jonah. Cause Richard
was
knows his shame. Yeah, he was.
Oh, cause I remember him saying.
Cause when he picked up that razor blade and gave it back to him, he was kind of like smiling. Like,
but he says, I didn't mean to, I swear. Right. And Jonah just goes, "Piss off."
Yeah. And that's when he smiles and walks off.
Okay, yeah. So, but at first I think he's trying to be apologetic. He's like, "Dude, I swear to God, I didn't try." Yeah,
I think they all are there. They're there because they all have secrets, right?
All of them.
Yeah, they're all damaged.
They all have a dark.
Yeah, but they're too young to even sort of admit or, you know, share that openly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a time in your life where you think everybody gives a shit about what you're doing and everybody's looking at you and watching you. But if everybody believes that, it's like you're just too young and like you're so stuck in your own world that you're like blind to the fact that everyone else is going through this, right? And maybe not everybody is looking at you or caring about what it is that you're doing, because we all, like, everyone has their struggles, especially at this time in this age. So
Jonah's pissed and he wants to get one up on Richard. So he goes into his room.
Like runs back into the room.
Takes his sketchbook and starts to go through them. Thinking that he might find something funny or something, I guess.
Who knows?
But then he ends up.
But the weirdest thing is he starts flipping through these charcoal drawings and he sees a picture that looks mighty damn close to those trees from his dreams. Yeah. And then he sees these figures, these little figures, and it's almost, he doesn't say it, and we didn't see it in his dreams, but it was like he recognized one of these little figures or what have you that Richard has drawn. So he is now like, whatever he thought he was going to uncover, he's a little scared.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of taken him aback. And then when Richard walks in the room to see what he has found and that what he's going through, he snatches the book away from him and he's pissed. And he goes over and grabs Jonah by the neck and starts choking him up on the wall.
Yeah.
And he's a much bigger dude than
Richard's
Jonah.
Richard's bigger guy, stronger guy.
Mm-hmm. And so I think at some point, this is the moment where I think they both realize, okay, we're even now, kind of. And he lets him go. And the next day it's like a makeup day, you know? And so
he's playing basketball.
Jonah is out playing basketball and Richard comes out and they just start playing together.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of having a good time. And the night ends with the two of them kind of hanging out and
playing like puzzle game or something like that with the matches.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're having a good time and,
building a friendship.
Yep. You can tell they've broken
bonding,
past the,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he says, "Hey, why don't you take your meds?" Cause I guess at some point, and maybe I missed it, but I think he saw that Richard was not willing to take some medication. And so he's like, "Why don't you take your meds?" And he's like, "Well, why do you cut yourself?"
Yeah.
Touche, right?
Yeah.
And so Jonah's like, "Fine, I'll answer." Well, he didn't say that, but he answers and he says, "The sting makes me feel alive." And
your move, Richard.
Huh?
It's basically like your move. Like,
your move. Yeah. Like, now you got to tell me why you don't take your meds. And then just as Jonah had like was fucking around and whispering in Richard's ear that day on the recliner, where he's like, did you have bad dreams? Richard now says to him, like in that same, like, you know, delivery, he was like, bad dreams, you know? So he doesn't take his meds because he doesn't want to fall asleep, because he's trying to stay awake and hide from these bad dreams that he's clearly drawing.
Yeah.
So we're in bed now and they are going to sleep. And it is, I don't know if they show the clock again, but if they did at this point, it is 3 a.m. Yeah, they did. Okay, so the last one, it was 2:58. This time it was 3 a.m. I don't know if that matters, but it was just a recurring time period throughout the movie. And Jonah wakes up to hearing the again. Yep. And but not before we see this creepy fucking little hand crawling up
At the foot of the bed.
The foot of the bed.
On Richard's side of the bed.
On Richard's side of the bed.
And he climbs up on Richard. And it's like the way this little figure, it's like a little kid in a hoodie.
Like a hobbit.
Yeah.
It's the size of a hobbit.
Yeah. And
with a brown cloak
but
on.
But the way it's like moving, it's like skipping frames.
Yeah.
Almost.
Fuck that
shit. It's like stuff the ring girl. Yeah. It's like, and he is crawling up Richard.
And then he just like pops on top of his chest.
And that's when Richard starts to gasp for air. And that's the exact same noise he's making when he was, the first time he sees him. I don't understand what triggers Jonah to see him this time than before, right? Like what?
He heard that sound again.
I know, but like, why is he seeing him?
Oh, I don't
know. Yeah.
But maybe it's because they both have an understanding of each other's darknesses or something. I don't know. I mean, look, it's a short movie. That's what I said. It's like, you gotta figure out what it means.
Jonah freaks out, gets up, grabs his
flashlight first, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. So he grabs his basketball.
Well, first he opens up the windows to try to let in some moonlight.
That was the second time. That was the first time?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. You might be right. I don't know. Yeah. But he sees this face.
Well,
the face turns to him first, and it's like, holy shit.
And it's the illustrations, like really demonic illustrations.
It looks like a little kid to me. Like,
with
it looks
like paint on his face.
Blood and dirt. Like it looks like
It was like in the drawing. It was like this.
Uh-huh.
I'm like,
you can't see what Minky's doing right now, but he's pushing his fingers all over his face. So yeah, it's a creepy face, and it just looks very like, he just gives him a blank stare, like, what the fuck are you going to do about me on top of this guy's chest, right? Yeah. And so Jonah
grabs the basketball and throws it at him.
Yeah.
And he jumps off of Richard's body and then goes sort of like into the wall. But he's like, his smoky.
After he throws the basketball. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's and like he poofs. It's like a poof. And you think it's going to go away, but it doesn't. It kind of like manifests into a shadow.
Yeah. And then he like climbs into the corner of the room where it's really dark.
Well, Annie's crawling all over. And I remember I was like, and then when the camera goes back to Jonah's side and he's standing in front of the window and his other corner.
Smoke is all over the wall, right?
Yeah. It's like the smoke monster from Lost. Yeah. and also there's like cracks coming like all throughout the walls. It's just like, what is going on? So pretty good special effects for this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, it's just like, what the fuck is happening? And by the way, Richard doesn't wake up through this. So let's see. Then the next morning, it's like, that's it. And then the next morning he's playing basketball again. And there's not a whole
Richard lot. Richard is being really rough with him, right?
He kind of knocks him down to the ground, but he apologizes for it.
He gets him up.
He said, I'm sorry about that. Because then I think I had looked down and I said, wait, what did he just apologize for? And you were like, he knocked him down.
Yeah.
So it is. I wrote down, they're asleep and it's 3 a.m. again. And now Jonah wakes up to hear the sounds again. And now there's not just one figure, but there's two figures. So there's two brown cloaked little teeny figures on top of Richard. And he just jumps right to them this time. And it's like, instincts, friend. Maybe now it's like they are truly friends and he's willing to do whatever he needs to do to protect him. So he jumps towards these two figures to get him off of Richard and they slash his arm right where his cuts are.
Yeah. Creating like five.
I don't.
It created like five slashes, just like his illustration.
Oh.
There was like five or four slashes going around his arm.
Interesting. Yeah. So he kind of jumps back and these two figures, they jump into the wall again and crawl up into that corner above the doorway and they're just staring at him like they're perched on a tree.
Yeah.
You know, which is very similar to kind of how he described these figures on
trees.
Oh, maybe
those cracks of branches.
Maybe. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it's, this was a really beautiful moment, and I can see this. No, it was. Yeah, it totally was. I mean, he just doesn't hesitate, and he just jumps into the bed with Richard, and you still think Richard's asleep. And
put his arm around him.
Oh, he just like puts his arm around
him. To protect him.
And he's staring at these two things like, I dare you to come back. Yeah. And then Richard's hand like comes up and holds onto Jonah's arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really sweet. And the two figures just stay up there perched, staring in the darkness.
And they fall asleep.
So everyone falls asleep. And
next morning they get up.
And laying in bed. And Richard is staring at Jonah. And he's like not petting, that's not a bad word. He's like
touching
the wounds.
Yeah.
And he feels like his old scars from his cutting. And then he touches like the new bloody ones from the demons or the little, hobbits the night before.
It was an intimate scene.
Very intimate scene. And they're staring at each other, looking at each other's eyes. And so I think it seems to be like we're moving from a friendship to a love.
Yeah, they're falling in love.
And unfortunately, a staff member opens up the door like, good morning, boys. And then she's like, oh. And she just like shuts the door as if she's just seen something she shouldn't have seen and that they're probably going to get in trouble for this now. And I think one of them actually makes a comment like, now we're both going to hear about this one. Oh, because Jonah said that.
One thing we left out, which I thought was kind of weird, was when he first removes the creature from Richard's chest, whatever, his pajamas all unbuttoned. Do you remember that? And so, like, Jonah buttons back up the first time. And it puts, what was that unbuttoned?
So when the two creatures were on top of him this time, before he gets in the bed with him, you're right, it was like they had opened up his pajamas. You're right, his buttons. And then he did. He buttoned them all up when he got into the bed with him.
Yeah.
So he's just protecting him. He doesn't know what the hell's going on, but he's, like, protecting him. So, anyway, as soon as the staff member walks in, the woman walks in and kind of catches them in bed together. Richard jumps up, and they were just in this moment together. But now Richard seems to be very distant and walks away, staring out of the window. And Jonah's like, "Oh," like kind of makes light of it, like, "Oh, I bet we're going to hear about this now."
Are we cool?
Yeah, and he's like, "Hey, though, like, hey, Richard, like, are we cool?" And Richard won't answer him. Silence. So now we see him. And we see Jonah in another therapy session. And the doctor says, well, it's time to return back to your life now.
Reality.
It's time to return back to reality. And Jonah's like really shocked. He goes, what do you mean?
He doesn't want to go.
And also, we have no idea, besides the cutting, why Jonah is here to begin with. Or why, I mean, if he's still cutting, why they're saying that he's ready to return back to reality. I mean, up until just a couple of days before, he was still bullying all the students or all the other kids. He's cutting himself still. I almost wondered if there was this, like, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but he, basically the conversation between the doctor and Jonah now, Jonah goes, but Richard needs me, and the doctor goes, listen, Richard has a really serious illness. And he says, it's really dangerous to think that you can help him. And whatever that means.
Whatever that means.
And so it's almost like, and he goes, yes, I know you guys have gotten rather friendly. And I'm like, really? Just from is there some I don't know, underlying message here about the like not accepting of, these two boys who may be gay or what have you?
You're saying that it's a metaphor?
Is there something there? Like the second that they find out that these two are in bed, like they send one back to public school and out of this, home. I don't know. I mean, it just crossed my mind. But anyway, so he's kind of forced to leave. He does not want to leave. So we see him with his suitcase and a pillow in his hand, and he's right at the front door, and he looks down the hallway and he sees Richard on a chair, and Richard just kind
and
of...
And a nurse giving him... Pills,
and he winds up just knocking the pills back. Mm-hmm. And Jonah, with a very sad look on his face, walks out. And so,
and then that's a slow transition into him
being
school,
back at school and high school.
And the interesting little insight here is that he's being bullied. all this time.
Yeah. So he gets pushed into his locker, and then someone else pushes past him, and we're like, oh wow. So he was doing to others.
Right.
That
apparently it's common, right?
Yeah. And so he goes into the bathroom and he starts having like a rage moment. He's just pissed. I'm sure he misses his...
Destroying those bathroom walls.
I know. He's like slamming all the bathroom stalls. He's like hitting the walls. He busts a mirror and he screams fucking cowards again. Yeah. So this is the third time we've heard those two words. And but whatever. It doesn't matter. He says it later. He smashes this mirror and he's so pissed. And he contemplates suicide.
Yeah. He grabs one of the broken glass and he's about to what looks like slit his wrist.
Yeah.
And he goes...
Because his cuts are much higher on his arm. So right now he's going straight for the wrist and he's about to do it.
He can't do it. And he says,
fucking coward.
Fucking coward.
Yeah.
And he like throws the glass on the ground.
So he is hurting and it's really sad and he's been screaming and all of that. And then so that's the last we see of Jonah. Now we see Richard back at the mental health institution and
he's watching Static on TV.
He's watching Static from that recliner in the total pitch black darkness.
Yeah. And he's doing his finger little motion on the remote control
as if he's changing the channel, but there's nothing on the TV but Static. And we see it's dark and we see trees blowing really strongly behind him and the windows behind him.
Well, we cut to the other side where we see Richard in the chair and in the wide shot of the room that he's in, the dark room.
And there's little darklings everywhere around
him. They're everywhere in the room. They're slowly coming up.
To the left, to the right, above him.
Yeah.
They're all out back in the trees, it looks like. So they're kind of closing in on him and he's kind of wide-eyed and...
he's zoned out, right?
Zoned he looks like out. He's zoned completely. Out. Yeah, if he's like clicking a remote control that's not doing anything actually in real life. And... Fine. Yeah. That's it.
And then it's black. It cuts to black.
Yeah. So what the fuck?
Yeah. And so I was just showing Tracy this while we were talking about it. So the trailer for the whole, the feature film, Boys in the Tree, is out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this came out. This short came out 2 years ago, I want to say.
2013?
What, the short did?
Yeah.
2013? Yeah. And so that movie, I think, came out in 2014. I want to say the feature film did, right?
2016.
Oh, 2016.
Yeah.
Oh, it says
trailer for 2016. I'm not sure if the movie's out.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, we should see that when it comes out. But
so it said, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but it's 2 years after.
Right.
And then it's that they follow Jonah, like his story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Richard, we don't see Richard, I think.
Yeah. So apparently this was a huge hit during the in the LGBT community and the film festival. I guess because it's actually really intimate and beautiful take on the relationship of those two boys, right? How it comes to how they sort of blossom, and that's shown in like in
they literally bond
in 14-15 minutes, right? Their relationship.
Yeah, the whole movie is only 22 minutes long. And actually, while we watched it on Shudder, I do believe you can watch the full movie on Vimeo, so you should check it out either way.
Really?
I think so. I think I saw that. But you should totally watch it.
So looks like one of the kids is like famous, right?
I mean,
in
I'm
Australia.
Sure. Yeah. I, you know, I think there were some interesting things at play. I mean, obviously every kid was there for their own reasons, but the fact that these two seem to have these similar situations happening, you know, these nightmares, these dreams, they both seem to have the same visuals. It's like they were going connected. To be able to work through them together and they were connected, you know, on a very deep level.
Yeah.
And then they were kind of torn away. And so again, I don't know if there was a much deeper meaning. Maybe we'll find out if we watch the feature film, but it was very sad to see a Jonah, a very distressed Jonah saying like, he needs me, I can help him. And then we see Richard has clearly been overtaken by all of these, and we saw in the credits, they call them darklings. I mean, we were joking to call them hobbits, but you know, these tiny little demons were just overtaking him and it's sad, you know. And then for Jonah to be contemplating suicide and doesn't know what to do with himself now that he's back in the real world without, you know, Richard, it's like they both needed each other.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful little story. Pretty good special effects.
Yeah.
Supernatural.
Check it out, man. I think the film, we don't do the film justice just by talking about it.
Yeah.
If you watch it, it's like 20 minutes, 22 minutes, and it's a beautiful little.
And Jonah's a really good actor.
Yeah. He has a punchable face.
You're such a bully.
He was such a good, you know, bully. He just annoyed me. I was like, I want to punch him. I was
oh my
like,
God. Oh my God.
In the beginning, I was like, God, this kid is an ass.
Well, that is good casting and good acting.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just saying he has a punchable face. Okay. Everyone watch.
And then
report back. Tell me, we'll do a little poll. Does Jonah have a punchable face? Yes, no, or maybe.
And then here's... and then answer this one. Is Minky the real bully?
Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, no, or maybe. I'm going to come and heckle you at your next stand-up.
Oh, my God.
I'll be your heckler.
Okay, thanks, guys, for listening. That was a short episode and a short review.
Yay! Yeah. And hey,
what?
Don't forget, email us at onefinalscare@gmail.com. And thank you for listening. And as always, if you wouldn't mind subscribing to us, that would be awesome. And we really appreciate it. What?
I mean, by the time, you know, this episode gets uploaded, let's hope that it's we've been approved.
People don't need to know about what's going on.
You just said that in the last episode.
But look, they only need to hear it once, you know.
All right, well, this is Minky Kim signing off.
And this is Tracy Matthews. Peace out, y'all.
Bye.